This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Thursday, and I'm here with the Queen of Christmas, Darlene Love. This is Behind the Table. All right, so we are here with royalty. We are here with the Queen of Christmas, Darlene Love. How are you, Darlene?
I am so great. It's wonderful.
I am as happy as you'll ever see me in a year because we just came from taping tomorrow's show where you performed two of your classic songs. First of all, the most important one, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. Now, as I talk about a lot, I used to work at The Late Show with David Letterman.
Right.
And that show, it was a Christmas tradition like no other. As Dave used to say, it was not Christmas until you've heard Darlene Love sing this song.
Right.
My first job there, I was Paul Schaefer's intern. When I was 18 years old or 19 years old, I used to go down and with the warm-up at the SIR studios.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And rehearse and rehearse and rehearse.
The one song.
And one song. And that song meant so much. That performance meant so much to the audience that watched it, but to the people who worked there. It was when you would hear you guys echoing throughout the building, Christmas, over and over again in Paul's office. And it would be a warm feeling that filled everyone there. It became a tradition where we would bring friends and family to come see the show.
I've seen the babies grow up, the dog in the makeup room.
Yeah, the dog.
And
people and celebrities would come just to watch because they knew in the background. I'd look around and I'd see huge stars watching.
Right.
It was such a tremendous thing. And then when the show ended after all those years, there were kind of two big days. It was the last show, but also the last Darlene Love show. We were marking it with that. What did those performances mean for you? Did that help the song become what it is, or was it already? How did that impact everything?
I told Dave, we were somewhere, I don't know where we were, but some kind of award show was going on. I told Dave, and we had been doing it about 10 years by then. And I said, David, I don't know whether you know this or not, but you are the reason I work like I do. Because every year, people stop me on the street, no matter what town or what city I'm in, they always say, Christmas doesn't start until I hear Darlene Love sing that song. And then Dave, that wasn't me. I just love that song. You know how Dave
is.
That's
him, yeah.
But then I said, but you don't understand. I used to do little small shows. You know, I have a little band, and I do it in the area, you know, New York, New Jersey, a few in Connecticut. But then after 10 years, people were used to seeing me. They wanted to really see my live show. Because after a while, it's like, is that the only song you know? We don't care. But then I started doing shows. And now, amazingly, I do them all over the world now. I work usually from the end of October to the 1st of January. And then it's scattered during the year. But I save everything I have for those 2 months.
I mean, you have quite a discography. It's not just that song, obviously. But it just means so much to so many people. And, you know, working in television, we get jaded. We've got big stars coming in every day. But people would melt that day. It was very, very special. And when I became the executive producer of The View, I knew I wanted to carry that on that tradition on. But it was so important that show was so sacred. I was nervous about even asking.
Right, I know.
And I felt like, is it wrong to keep doing it? And is it wrong to have her here?
No, you know, David, the last thing he said to me when I was leaving, he said, I sure hope somebody picks up this tradition.
And
guess what? You heard him.
I made a call when it happened.
That's right.
I called over there and I said, I just want to make sure this is okay. And he said, of course. And Paul, too.
Yes.
Paul Schaefer, the arrangements he did were genius and amazing.
Unbelievable.
He's such a musical force.
Well, you know what? The joy of doing that song was it started off with just Paul and the four guys. Not only did they play, but they sang, too. Then every year, they just kept adding and adding. Listen, one year, David came over to me after I'd finished singing the song. He said, "My God, who's paying for all of this?" And I said, "You are. It's called the David Letterman Show."
Yeah. No.
But he didn't care. Paul told me he gave Paul free range to make it as big and as hot.
He kept topping himself every year.
I know. Everybody would walk, especially entertainers that I knew. "How do you guys do it better every year?" I said, "Listen, Paul Schaefer rehearses those singers for at least 2 or 3 hours up in his office. And the band the same way. And he rehearses them and rehearses. And then when he runs up to the engine, up to the sound room, make sure, you know, everything sounds good." And that happened every year. He even got to the place where he would call Ellie Greenwich, who wrote the song.
Really?
And talk to her. "Well, we're getting ready to do it again. What you think?"
Well, he always said he wanted to try to get as close to the wall of sound as he could.
And he did.
Yeah.
And the last year, well, forget it.
That was something special. I have video from backstage that day, and it was good. And those Christmas shows meant so much to me. All right, so tomorrow will be your 8th performance on The View. We just taped it. And to make it different, because we could never replicate what you did on that show, we always bring out special performers with you. We've had Rob Thomas and Jason Derulo and Bryan Adams and Patti LaBelle, Fantasia Barrino. Big stars are always jumping at the chance to perform this song with you. Tomorrow, you're going to be performing with Stevie Van Zandt, who people know from the E Street Band and The Sopranos. This year, you're also doing the second song with Stevie, All Alone on Christmas. Tell us the story behind that.
I met Stevie about 30 years ago, somewhere in that area, and I was just putting my solo career back together because I was still singing with the group The Blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
And Lou Adler in Los Angeles was a very good friend of mine, and I told him that I needed a place to work, put a show on. "Well, I don't know where I'm going to get people from," and all of that. And, you know, he said, "Don't worry about it, doll. All my good friends that know me real good, from Paul Schaefer to all of them, always call me doll." I said, "Okay." So actually, Lou Adler, he said, "When do you want to do it?" I said, "Well, as soon as possible. I ain't got nothing else to do right now." And what he did, he gave me the theater to work, and he started inviting all these people. He said, "Don't worry about it. I'll get them all." Well, it just so happens that the Grammy was going on that year.
Oh.
And Lou called all of those people, and they all showed up to see the show. Well, nobody had actually really seen Darlene Love perform. It was either with the Blossoms or the background singer for whoever it was working that night. And we did the show, and Stevie and Bruce came to that show. And I was singing Hungry Heart at the time in my show. And I told Bruce I didn't know who he was because all I ever heard was The Boss. And the people would say The Boss, and I thought they were booing when they went, "Bruce, Bruce." I said, "Why y'all booing at that man? That man can sing." He was, "No, we're saying Bruce, Bruce, Bruce." I said, "Okay." Well, I got to meet them. They came backstage after the show was over, and they acted like they had been knowing me for years. They knew my history, which amazed me, too. You know, a lot of times, entertainers like me, you do background for so long, you don't really think people know who you are, you know, because there wasn't no big advertisement about who was singing background. But Stevie said, "You need to come to New York." I went, "What am I going to do in New York?" He said, "Well, if I get you a couple of jobs, would you come?" I said, "Oh, sure." Well, I didn't know 40 years later, I'm still living in New York. And I tell Stevie all the time, it's your fault. Yes, yes. And here we are. And living in New York has made me so popular. I became popular with the press. It's not a very easy thing to do. But they like to hear me talk. I always tell stories. So I became friends with Sue Simmons.
Oh, I love Sue Simmons.
Back in the day.
Sure.
And she became one of my good friends. I was on her show like she was my cousin, or I was the microphone. I was like, you know, live on New York, and I went, I did the show. And the popularity of me and the song, it just grew and grew and grew. And who knew, you know, I would be singing this song all over the world. It's gotten to the point now, you know, I'll be 83 next year.
It's unbelievable to me. You sound as good as you did the first time you made that record,
you know,
60 years ago.
It's so much fun. And I always tell my audience, when this becomes work, that's probably when I'll stop. But it's never worked for me. I'm tired a lot of times, like tonight.
Well, I can't tell you how much it means to us. Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And people rightfully call you the Queen of Christmas. There was that controversy last year with Mariah.
Right.
We crowned you on our show, which I thought was a lot of fun. Mariah called herself that title, then quickly retracted it.
Right.
What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
You know, I thought that was so nice of her because it wasn't really Mariah and I who kept all that going back and forth. It was the fans.
Yeah.
You know, that's Mariah's song. She sung that song. I said, well, look and see what year I recorded it in. She wasn't born yet. And if she was, she only about 5 or 6 years old, right? So, and then when she did that, I tried to get in touch with her. I thought that was so beautiful because it wasn't, I don't have anything against her.
No.
Matter of fact, the bigger the fans got, my souls were were sold out.
Right. She could be the princess of Christmas.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying? And we are good friends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's She's an incredible artist, obviously. And,
unbelievable, you know, from the first day I heard her.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that she said she grew up with Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. Mm-hmm. And she heard that song in her house every Christmas, which is amazing to me.
It's great.
But, you know, and then for all of this to be happening right now at where I am in my life and everything is just wonderful that's happening for me right now. So I can't do anything but enjoy the accolades that are going on right now.
And they're well deserved. You know, there's so many covers of your song. Do you have a favorite? I grew up listening to U2 and stuff like that. Is there a favorite for you?
I was asked that question not too long ago, and I told him it was U2's version. And the reason was not it's the great, but I have a connection with U2 and the song because U2 wanted me to do all the background parts, not me and some more people.
Right.
I did all the backgrounds for it. We went in and we did the song, and it has a special meaning to me because it's totally different from what
it's
everybody else.
It's a completely different song. Yes.
And it was a YouTube Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
Yeah.
That's what made it so
I've always
great.
Enjoyed that too. What are the holidays like at your house?
Mine have slowed down a little bit. The kids are grown now. You know, after your kids grow up, they want to go and have Christmas with their friends.
Oh, the nerve.
You know, I know. But, you know, after you sweat and toil all day for the food, they'll come by the house and say, hey, Mom. But, you know, I enjoy when my kids come by. It's always a lot of fun. And it's my busy time, so it's not like they have to stay.
Right.
They can come by and come back tomorrow and then the next day or whatever. It means a lot to me because of family.
It's you and Santa. This is your busy
That's
time.
That's it. This, I don't have to deliver the presents. That's one thing.
You deliver more to us.
No,
let me tell you.
Santa's job.
This is the happiest you ever see. And Whoopi Goldberg, we're trying to find her for the Hot Topics meeting. She's down on set with you. She wants to see it. She wants to soak it all up. It's really so much fun. Is there anyone you'd like to? So this year, in addition to performing with us, you did this album. You're on Cher's album, and you performed with her at the Tree Lighting,
right?
Which is amazing because, as we talked about, she was your backup singer on the original, which is unbelievable.
And with, you know, and the story about that is even funny. Mm-hmm. You know, because Phil had a habit, if he was mixing the record down
Phil Spector didn't have
enough people on an instrument. Sonny Bono brought Cher to one of the sessions. She was just sitting there, very quiet, very meek, very humble, sweetheart, you know, very friendly, which was really great. And Phil Spector told Sonny, Sonny, didn't you say your girlfriend can sing?
Wow.
And he said, yeah, she can sing. Now, I don't know if Sonny believed he said that or not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But here's her chance, right? She'd never been in front of a microphone, never sang in a recording studio. So she came in and she started singing the background for Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. I hadn't gotten there yet because I was having a trouble with my car. I don't even remember, but I know it was my car. So when I got there, she was in the studio singing. And I went, wow, wonder who that is, because I didn't know her yet. And Sonny, I said, Sonny, who is that? He said, that's my girlfriend. I said, wow, she can sing. The problem was she has such a strong voice and a recognizable voice. Phil Spector kept saying, Cher, move back a little. You're too loud. You're too loud. You know, move back a little more. And then I said, Phil, in a minute, she's going to be in the next room.
Wow.
Leave her alone and just let her sing. And that's how me and her got to know one another. At the recording studio, sometimes Sonny and Phil would go off somewhere. And the three of us, Ronnie Spector, myself, and Cher would be left in the studio. So we had time to laugh and talk about one another. Nobody's really a star yet. You know
that's
what I'm saying? And that's fun to be able to sit and talk to three girls talking about who we was hanging with.
And then 60 years later, you're doing the Tree Lighting together.
Yeah, which is even more amazing because I got this phone call from her in July. She said, hi, doll. I said, hi, who is this? And she said, it's Cher. And I said, who?
That's great. I love it.
And she said, I'm doing this Christmas album. And she never wanted to do a Christmas album, I guess because everybody else had one.
Sure.
And she told me, she said, well, I'm going to do this Christmas album, but I told him only if I can do a duet with Darlene Love.
I mean,
and the song has to be Christmas Baby. So that to me just blew my mind.
It's right. It's the right thing to do. No,
and
I mean,
it was perfect.
It's
you know
great.
What I'm saying? And she's the one that kept saying, doll, we did this 60 years ago. I went, really?
Well, you were nice enough. I bought the vinyl from 60 years ago, and you were nice enough to sign it for me today. And it's going to be in my living room every Christmas. I'm so excited to have it right next to the Empire State Building from the top of the Letterman tree that I stole on the last show. All right. So the other favorite thing, I have to mention this because this is how I first knew you. You were Mrs. Murtaugh. You were Mama Murtaugh in the Lethal Weapon movies.
Yes.
I don't think people know that right away. They don't
no,
think
they
of you
don't.
That way.
Or they know me for the Murtaugh movies and don't know that I'm a singer.
I love that. There's been rumors there's going to be another one. Have you heard anything?
No. Well, there is, from what I can understand.
All right.
I went to the memorial service for Dick Donner, the director, not too long
great
ago.
Great director, yeah.
And they told me that there was going to be another one, and Murtaugh. We're going to be there, but in spirit only.
In spirit only. That's right. You're too old for this.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's great. Well, listen, next year we'll be back here again. I hope you'll be back with us.
Yes. We have to figure out this schedule.
The schedule's hard. I know.
I don't have to drive to Philadelphia today.
Well, I can't imagine. After the performance you gave this morning, I can't imagine you have any vocal cords left. That was amazing. I hope everyone will tune in tomorrow to hear it on the show. We can't wait.
Yes, please do. It was amazing today. It reminded me of Paul Schaefer.
Yeah.
I mean, we must have 25 people on that stage.
All right. Well, listen, the Christmas season officially starts tomorrow, so please tune in. Thank you, Darlene. Make sure you watch our annual holiday holiday show tomorrow, A Very Merry View, to see Darlene perform. And as a reminder, after today, we're on hiatus. So Behind the Table will be back on January 2nd. Thank you so much for listening. Happy holidays. And we'll talk to you again in 2024. Thank you, Darlene.
Yay! Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
A good one.
Behind the Table is executive produced by Brian Tedda. Supervising producers are Nathan Getty and Summer Shake, with production assistant Emily Darcy. The vice president of ABC Audio is Liz Alessi, and the executive producer of podcast programming is Laura Mayer. Special thanks to Lori Hogan, Susie Liu, Meg Fierro, Enza Dolcenini, Josh Cohan, Ariel Chester, Frankie Perez, Audrey Mostek, and Dana Schaefer.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.